You're on 2SER Breakfast. It is time to delve into the world of cinema, though, and I'm actually very, very excited this week because I feel like I might have something to contribute. Michael Jones is with us now to run us through the movie reviews of the week. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. I've got two films today which I'm very excited about. Lots to talk about, too, so
I'm ready.
Get straight into it.
Let's go.
Let's start with The Meg.
I've seen this on so many buses. It looks garbage. I'm so ready.
Yes, one of the biggest B pictures of the film. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the movies, Jason Statham turns up as Jonas Taylor, an acclaimed rescue diver with a troubled past, of course.
Of course.
To rescue some marine researchers trapped in a submarine under a layer of hydrogen at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, only to discover that a bloody great big shark, or a megalodon, long thought to be extinct, is responsible for their predicament. The rescue does go pretty well, however, and everyone is pretty happy until the local whales start disappearing and stop singing. Whatever could have caused that?
An absolute unit of a shark.
Quite possibly. Yes, we have a giant freaking shark, or possibly sharks on the loose near the surface, and they're very, very hungry. Can Jonas stop the Meg from devouring half the beach resorts of southern China and flirt with super sexy, super scientist, single mum Su Yin, played by Bing Bing Lee, enough to get her phone number? You'll just have to watch and find out. But if you do, don't expect much great acting. This is a Jason Statham film, of course, and he has about as much range as one of those CGI versions of himself that you might see in a PlayStation game. Without Rainn Wilson as the eccentric billionaire research financier Morris, this film could have been dead in the water. He's actually genuinely funny and saves us from some dreadfully cliched and stilted dialogue from other characters. So he's a highlight of the film. The CGI on the shark, or Meg, is actually pretty good, even if at one point he does look a bit like Bruce from Finding Nemo. There's one point where he comes up to a window and it looks like he's going to do the big Bruce smile.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, well, you're just waiting for him to say hello. Also, for a shark film, there is a noticeable lack of blood and guts in this one. As you would expect, many characters don't make it to the end of this film, but apparently they don't bleed. Weird and disappointing. It's probably something to do with the rating of the film. Anyway, look, a few people that are in this film, besides Jason Statham and Bing Bing Lee and Rainn Wilson, you've got Cliff Curtis, Paige Kennedy, Robert Taylor, Jessica McNamee, giant CGI shark, and it's directed by a guy called John Turteltaub.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
Very appropriately aquatic surname. Anyway, The Meg should have been the perfect film. Jason Statham and a giant shark, what's not to love? But critical elements like suspense, blood, and guts are certainly missing. So while a guilty pleasure, this film does lack teeth. The Meg, more of a gummy shark.
Oh, see, I love the concept, though, because it's like, what if we do Jaws, but bigger.
Way, way bigger in this case. And
didn't quite work as well as Jaws.
Doesn't quite come off.
Not the next Jaws.
No.
Oh.
Shall we move on to another film I was highly anticipating? This one is Black Klansman. It stars John David Washington, Adam Driver, Laura Harrier, Topher Grace, Jasper Puckinen, and it's directed by Spike Lee. Now, this is based on a book by Ron Stallworth detailing his account of being a police officer in a place called Colorado Springs in the early 1970s. He was the first black police officer in Colorado Springs. And during this period, Ron Stallworth, played by Washington, successfully managed to infiltrate the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan with the help of white officer Flip Zimmerman, played by Adam Driver. And along the way, he even convinces national president of the KKK, David Duke, played by Topher Grace, over the phone to expedite his membership.
Jeez.
Yes, it's quite amazing. Black Klansman is listed in IMDb as a biography, comedy, crime film, but it really is so much more than that. Whilst the film is set in the early 1970s, this is really Spike Lee holding a mirror up to 2018 America and asking if anything has really changed. This is a wake-up call. At first, the film is funny because Ron Stallworth really is a fish out of water. He's a black cop in an all-white police force, obviously, in a predominantly all-white town. But then things start to get a little bit ugly as other officers start to use racist terms to describe African-American suspects, and all Ron is really allowed to do is shrug his shoulders and shake his head. Some officers even openly bait Ron with racist abuse, and this is where it starts to get uglier and uglier. At first, it's actually kind of funny in a perverse sort of way because it's just so shocking. It seems like quaint language of the past that, oh, we'd never use that today, would we? And, you know, tut, tut. Also, Ron Stallworth's telephone conversations with the clueless David Duke are really quite hilarious viewing. I think Spike Lee is using David Duke as a bit of a metaphor for Donald Trump's buffoonery in this film. It's until you realise that a guy like David Duke actually still has a national platform in the United States. He's campaigned for the US Senate and the House of Representatives several times, and he says that Donald Trump actually speaks more radically than he does. That's when you should start to get really disturbed by this film. Now, through Adam Driver's character in the film Zimmerman, we also get to meet the local Klansmen. Again, their racism is kind of amusing at first because, like I said, it seems quaint and a relic of times long, long past, or you'd think so. But after a while, you start to feel uncomfortable and then eventually, like, really sick to your stomach as Spike Lee really bashes you over the head with language and attitudes that African Americans have experienced for hundreds and hundreds of years and pretty much still experience it today from many so-called very fine people who would possibly like to make America great again. There are several scenes also nod towards the significance of today's Black Lives Matter movement, the result of what is an overrepresentation of African Americans on the wrong end of police brutality, shootings, or just everyday harassment. It's really clever in that way. Oh, yeah, Black Klansman also references some of the great blaxploitation films of the early 1970s, so much better than last week's Superfly ever did. Director X, take note.
Googled this.
So you know what blaxploitation is now.
So last week when you were talking about Superfly, the back of my brain translated that to The Fly, and I was like, oh, cool, monster movie. So then when you were like, blaxploitation, I was like, oh, cool, monster movie. I've Googled it. Mm. The hint was in the entire name.
Yes, it was. Anyway, it's good we all learned something from these segments. But if you go along to Black Klansman expecting a wacky buddy comedy crime caper film, you're in for a large, uncomfortable truth suppository to make you squirm in your seat. But I guess you could watch it like that if you want. Look, whilst our heroes do eventually crack and solve the case, have they solved anything at all, really? Has racism been defeated? If the final scenes of this film don't have an impact on you, you probably nodded along in agreement with Senator Fraser Anning's maiden speech the other day and have zero empathy. Black Klansman is one of the most powerful and angry American films of the year, if not the last few years. Social commentary, crime, comedy, and rage. I guess you could almost describe it as what America's burning cross to bear, if you will.
Oofed.
Spike Lee fights the power like no other. Black Klansman rates 5 raised fists. See it in your hood today.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure.